communication with God. Yes. Please go ahead, sir.
Which is, I think we discussed like two ways or something like that.
Yes, sir.
The communication with God. The from us to God is through prayers, mostly through meditation, the word of God and all that. Then from God to us, in the Bible, up to the time of probably the apostles or so, God spoke in a loud voice that people could hear. Like, for example, when he was talking to Paul on his way to Damascus. And after that, I'm not sure how many times God has spoken in a loud way that we could there, you know, either individually or something like that, that we could hear. So kind of like, it's a question, but at the same time, kind of like something to make.
It's a good
on.
Point you're bringing up, yeah.
Why is it that God is not talking besides prophecy, that we've not hearing God like in a loud that, you know, multiple people or maybe one person or two people could hear the voice of God spoken anymore, or maybe he's still doing it. I mean, I probably talk to Daddy Gio, but I don't know if Daddy Gio hear voice, you know, physical voice, like voice coming out or just saying. But as for me, I've not experienced it in
very interesting
time.
Very interesting question. I think, this question is one of the aspects of a Christian life that we should pay attention to. The first I want to bring up, and I don't know if someone has any of that, is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And we can now look at why is it that we don't hear audible voice? How can we differentiate between what our mind is telling us or what we have thought about for so long? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, started with this same question type of thought process. It says, God, who at different times and in different ways spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all the things by whom he made the world. So I will stop right there. And there is a lot of things in there. There's two things. God, in the times past, at different situations, through different means, has spoken to the prophets. So, example in case in point was God speaking directly to Moses. In fact, it got to a point, children of Israel asked exactly the same question. Say, the God that you said has been speaking to you, we want that God to speak to us. Then we'll be sure that you are actually talking to God under this small cubicle you usually go and hide. Moses said, you really want to hear God? Consecrate yourself in 3 days, and we will all appear before him. On the third day, Bible says, when the rain and the thunder and everything started roaring, people said, we cannot stand this thing. You go and talk to God. So they basically wanted to hear God, but they did not hear God. They only saw or heard thunder, saw lightning and fire, you know. Another time when someone wanted to hear God was a man called Nebuchadnezzar. He did not hear God, but he saw the handwriting of God on the wall. He thought he was drinking too much because he was doing something that was not right anyways, because he started using the vessels that were stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. They were drinking with all the other women that were there. And then God started writing on the wall. So we're beginning to, I really want to kind of quickly jump through some examples to say, how does God actually speak speak so that people will not be confused with who is talking to them. So Nebuchadnezzar saw handwriting on the wall. Eventually, if you look at the story and succession of kings, it got to a point that, you know, tied Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, put them inside fire. But Bible says that as he was observing from his post, he saw four people in the fire. And he was asking and say, didn't we tie three? The fourth one had an appearance of the Son of God. God was revealing something to him. Moses saw fire burning. That was what caught his attention. Then God started speaking to him. So for him, he heard God audibly. Many times, Bible says in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings that Elijah heard God and he will go and speak to Ahab. And they will say, Ahab, for 3 years, there will be no rain at my word. Another man that God spoke to but could not hear clearly was Balaam. Balak was the king. Balaam was the man that was supposed to be hired prophet. He was trying to go do his own whatever business. He, for some reason, I guess the donkey was not moving as it was supposed to move. And then he started hitting the donkey. But God was trying to say something to him. I'm looking at different ways. God has been speaking to different people here. Jacob, after cheating the brother on his way to Midian, slept at Bethel, put a stone on his head. While sleeping, Bible says he had a vision, and he saw the ladder from heaven down, and he saw angels ascending and descending, and he said, oh, obviously, this is the house of God. And then he turned that place to a place of prayer. He didn't physically see anybody, but in a dream, he said, this must be a place of God, and that's why it's called Bethel. And if we begin to just go one by one through the character, this same man, let's even move to another character. Joshua, when he was about to fight and carry the children of Israel across, Bible says that there was a man in Joshua chapter 5. There was a man that Joshua saw. And Joshua went to ask this man, are you for us or against us? And the man said, I'm neither for you nor against you, but I am from the captain of the army of God, and I'm here to make sure that the battle is won. And he was talking to someone that is impossible to believe. Genesis chapter 18. And Abraham was sitting under the tree in the heat of the day, and there were three men that were passing by, and he went quickly to them and said, please, if you don't mind, come to my house. Let me bake some bread and put some milk and just wash your feet because the journey is long. And before you know it, one thing that was recorded towards the end of that chapter was, and Abraham was standing before the presence of God. One man waiting, two of them left, and he started interceding. If there is one person in that city, will you save the city? If there are five people, will you deliver the city? If there are 20 people, will you do it? He started interceding, met God. Let's move faster. Bible said Ezekiel was sitting. And then suddenly, his eyes were opened. And he could see the glory of heaven. Same thing, Jeremiah. Same thing, Isaiah. Those ones were like trances and vision. Let's move quickly again through the scriptures. Bible says, and Zechariah was walking in the house of God. It's normal schedule of just use your censer and do this, because every priest, they have 24 of them, they rotate. You have your own 8 hours of doing your own thing. As he was doing it, he said, someone appeared to him. It's like you're alone in this church at some time, maybe Saturday or whatever, and someone just appeared at the door. You will almost freeze or shout or try to run. And say, hey, don't run anywhere. God has answered your prayer, and you're going to have a child. say, how can this be? What's going to happen? Whatever conversation. God. I mean, most bad. Manoah, no child, and then a man appeared to the wife and said, your wife, you will have a baby. This baby is going to be great. Don't shave the hair. The name shall be this and that. This woman prayed and said, oh, okay, I'll tell my husband. Told the husband and said, the husband said, let us pray to God that this man will appear to us again and tell me the same story you have just told me. The man came again and said, you will have a son. He's going to be a great child. And that was how Samson came. Gideon was just a small guy fetching and doing the work. And someone just appeared and said, oh, thou man of great valor. Okay. If you begin to look through and look through, let's look at Mary. Mary was just by herself, and then an angel appeared and said, hail Mary, thou favored of God, blessed art thou, which is what Catholics began to turn into rosary. And then say, you're going to have a child. He said, how shall it be? He said, oh, because the Spirit of God shall overshadow you, and you will have a baby. Having a conversation, but it was a very difficult thing for her. The same thing for Elizabeth, because an angel Gabriel talked to her. And then on and on and on in the scripture, the same thing for Paul, for Peter when he fell in trance. So how can God speak to a person? That is why that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 makes it very clear. Does God only use audible voice? The thing is this. God has made us to be able to hear or interact with him at a level that is beyond just words. So why is it that we can't hear God? God does not only speak. He does speak. God may speak through a person. He may speak through a thing. God may use events to speak to us. And I think we have to pay attention. If we don't pay attention, I think it is the book of Hebrews down the line that says, if we do not hold the truth that we have in our hands, over time they will slip through our fingers. When God is using an event to talk to us, we don't know. We usually think it's something that is happening or whatever. But God may be using events to speak to us. God may use another person that you don't even know to speak to us. Many times God will send someone to you. And, you know, we cannot know who the person will be. Let me take a case in point, Acts chapter 10. Bible says that Cornelius was a good man. He was a Greek or so. But he was a righteous person because he was paying faithfully his tithe and he was saying his prayers at the right time. But he was not saved. So somehow, God hinted him. We didn't know how. I think it was in a vision or a dream. God said something to him. That there is a man that you need to go and call. He's far away. Send some delegation to him to invite him so that he can tell you. And Peter too, while it was in the afternoon, I guess he was fasting or doing something, he saw a trance. But he didn't know the meaning of what he saw. But then, it was the second day, he said, of a surety, I know that God is not a partial person. For he can save both the Greeks or the Gentiles. For while I was in my house yesterday waiting, the Lord spoke to me that we should not be this and that, and he went on to tell the story. So how can God speak to us? We should never limit God to one option. Do you know God can speak to you through somebody that is even not a clean vessel? And I think we did this when we talked about holiness. And we have to be careful. And let me say this, even for the record. God can speak to the most revered believer through the most sinful person. It doesn't make sense. But when we think about it clearly, it does make sense. Because God uses anything. And when he begins to use a thing, the fact that God is choosing to use a thing is what makes that thing holy. Remember what God told Moses. He says, the ground that you are standing upon is holy. What made the ground holy was because at that moment, God is using that ground. And it's there, right there. Tomorrow, if you go to that same ground, if the presence of God or that power of God that made that thing holy will not be there. So, can God use your neighbor to speak to you? God can use a child to speak to you. God can use a man that is a drunk to speak to you. And if you look at the negative side of it too, devil can use a person that is a strong, knowledgeable believer to speak to you. Of course, why? Why not? We saw Peter. Jesus said, devil, get behind me. It's not that Peter was a devil. It was that there were utterances that were coming through Peter that were not specifically from God. So how can God speak to us? A believer will be deceived if a believer does not know how God speaks. Bible says Ananias in the book of Acts, while Paul was arrested spiritually, God revealed to Ananias and say, you need or must go and lay hands on this man. And the man was worried in his spirit because nobody came to talk to him. It wasn't that he had a chat or a conversation. He was contemplating in his heart. How can I go and pray for this man or even go and associate with him? But somehow he agreed to the plan. So my submission here is, if we want to hear God, and I will give you one real life, I won't tell you the entire story. There was a time I was working with a couple of people who were walking on the road. And a mad man, definitely from the looks, you know how mad people dress and walk sometimes in some streets back in some other countries. This mad man was coming with all kinds of, I don't know, stick, I don't know. Everybody just ran. But for some reason, I froze. I could not move. And he approached me. See, everybody already entered different places. And the guy looked at me in the face. And he told me, you. And he said some things very specific to me. And when he finished all he said, do you understand it? I said, yeah, I was just shaking my head. He said, do you understand what I'm saying? I said, and then he moved on. You know, all the other people that were with me later came. And this was around, I can't remember, around 6:30 in the evening or 7, because we were actually going to fellowship. They said, do you know a madman before? Have you ever met this madman? I said, how can I? I was not in my state. I traveled to another state. So there was no way I could have even met this person before. He said, so what was he talking to you about? I said, it's between me and within me. I didn't tell them because I don't know whether they will understand or whether they will believe or whatever. That was case one. I'll give you another second case. Another brother, some months later, I was sleeping in the fellowship hall. I was working in a refinery, and in a refinery, we don't have houses. They only give us containers. You know, like those containers, shipping containers, that was where we were living. And I had some other brothers that were coming for internship. So I asked them to stay in my room. I was sleeping inside the chapel. A brother became, I don't know what we call it, he lost his mind. So they bound him, they've been praying for him, and they wanted to send him to the psychiatric hospital. But they've not gotten released to move him out. While I was sleeping, he bolted out of his room. Again, in the second occurrence. I'm not telling you stories now. Real life. I can't remember the time. Maybe whether it was 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. He came straight to me because he opened the chapel door. And we were like 5 people in the chapel sleeping at different places because some people would pray and sleep off. And he started telling me the story of my life that nobody ever knew about. I was trying to wake up, or I wasn't sure what was going on. But he started saying, do you know? And he started saying things. When he finished that, then he started telling me what would happen. You know, I was thinking, okay, I know this brother has been having problems. But when I fully woke up and I saw him, he was still talking. And then he now went back to things in the past that there was no way he could have known. There was just no way. And at that moment, I don't cry, you know, because I tried to be put up a strong face, but tears were coming to my face. Because when you get to a moment where, you know, someone knows your secret, but he doesn't really know you, you know for sure God has gotten you. It's like God arrested you and wanted to prove to you. When it finished, I was just 100% sure that there was no way this brother was just mad randomly. He didn't finish there. He left me while I was, because I was so confused at that moment, because I was thinking, what's the connection between me and this person? Why would God have to reveal something through this person? And again, the mad person again went to another brother. This, I can never forget what happened, because I was confused in my own case. This was almost 1:30 a.m. or 2 a.m. in the morning. Went to this other brother, started talking about what happened to the brother in the past. It was the brother that eventually told us this, that I didn't tell people my own testimony. But when he said, this man just told me exactly what has happened, and he told what will happen, what you should do, otherwise this will happen, this and that. That night was a big night for at least two of us, those me and I and that brother. And do you know what happened the following day, morning? That brother became normal. I'm still trying to find if I can find a person, because I don't even know. I've lost contact with most of those. That was almost 18 years ago. He became normal, and no one was able to explain why it was okay. But in my mind and my spirit, I know for sure. See, those years were the years that I already made up my mind that if someone says that God does not exist or that God cannot do a lot of things, it's because the person has never experienced something that can shake them. If God really wants to prove to you something right now, except in that, in fact, that it's not even in my prayer. I would be foolish to say, oh, maybe or maybe not. No. That was a defining moment for me. So how did God talk to me in that situation? It was a very rare thing for someone to come and tell me, oh, God says this. It is always a very rare thing for me. Prophets will come and I will just move past, because I know they will not say anything. They can't see anything. But the people that have ever said anything that I cannot, there's just no way for me not to believe that this must be some spirit, whether it is of God first or not, is the fact that they told me things that no one ever knew about me. And things that they spoke concerning me in the future. And some of them actually have come to pass. So now I am double sure of what they said. There are some of them that the first madman said that has not come to pass, but I can almost see, because all the things he said, he mentioned this and this and this, the two, they've come to pass. And then the third one, I have no doubt to believe that it's going to come to pass as well. Whether they are good or bad is a different case. So the reason why I'm giving what I know for sure is the fact that how can we hear God? If anyone told me, and in fact, let me give you this part of it. That was the same year that a lot of prayer warriors in our fellowship and people that are, you know, some people, you know them, they're spiritually sound. They were actually challenging me about certain decisions I've made. They say, oh, you are not really hearing the word of God. You are not doing this and that. And because they didn't see me when I was hearing some other things, I just told them, sorry, brother, I cannot do all they are asking me. Let me just continue this way I'm going, little by little. They said, no, we want you to do this. I said, no. And they could not understand. I could not explain it to them. I could not. In fact, right now, most of them have big ministries in different places. I just told them, I understand what you're saying. I just cannot explain why I cannot do what you are talking about. So how can we hear God? For me, from what I have known from scriptures, there is no single way, no single method, no single approach, God may choose right now, before you get home, the first person that may meet you at home, maybe the one that God will use. How do you know? So it is now a matter of, am I willing to accept when I hear this thing and think about it and pray about it? And devil knows the same pattern too. So he can use someone to influence your life by saying something and you're shaken by it and then things like that. God uses so many different ways. So many different ways. We just have to be careful. So if it is only audible voice, no, that's not the only way. That's not the only way. In fact, if you look at so many apostles in the New Testament, there were apostles that God will reveal certain things to, and then they will have to just go say it. Look at Philip. God was just giving him ideas or instruction. And I mean, I would encourage anyone to go and do a deep, clean study about Philip. Of all the apostles, Philip, Stephen, Ananias, you know, Barnabas, those were the silent generals in the New Testament. And the only reason they were powerful was because they must have a very clear way of listening to God speak to them. See Barnabas? You will never hear that, and God spoke to Barnabas and whatever. No, you will just see that Barnabas would do a lot of things that we cannot generally explain it, but the fact that God inspired him to do it. God inspired him to, or God will. All the things he did sometimes were controversial. You go and grab Paul and bring him to church. You do. He took Paul to his own hometown to go and meet a politician. It was not generally done. He fought Paul at some time. He said, oh, you just want to disagree with Mark? Okay, let me go with him and you go. Not serious fighting, but just like small disagreement. But eventually they were continuing working. So how can we hear God? In the book of Acts 27 or 28, when Paul was being transferred from Capernaum or Caesarea all the way to Rome, when they were traveling, Paul heard God. That is a strange, let me read that one alone. Acts 27 or 28. Let me just read that quickly. Acts 27. I read from verse 27. Yes, Acts 27 from verse 27. But when the 14th night came, as we were driven up and down in Adria about midnight, the shipmen considered to make sure that we arrive in the nearest city. They echoed and found that it was only 20 fathoms. And then they went a little further, and then they were afraid that they were going to fall upon the rocks. I read verse 31, because I just want to get to it. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these people stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. But let me read the part that where Paul actually told them of what something that God. Let me read verse 21. Acts 27, 21. After a long abstinence, Paul stood up in the midst of the people. And he said, sirs, you should have listened to me. You shouldn't have let us start this journey from Crete. Now we are in danger. Now I exhort you, I encourage you to be of good cheer. See what he's saying. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship may be destroyed. Verse 23, is an answer to one of these questions. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, not that I was made by the God that sent that angel, and whom I serve. He said, I direct my walk to this same God. That angel of that God came beside me, and he said something to me. Fear not, Paul. The angel must know the name. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And look, God has given you all the people that are with you. Here, what is interesting there was God was trying to give Paul an information about what's going to happen in the future. So anything that happens in between may not be clear to Paul, but he was absolutely sure he was going to stand before Caesar. He could be standing before Caesar with one leg, with one eye, with wounded head, with injuries. But he said, I know for sure I will not be dead. I must appear before Caesar because an angel of God spoke to me at night. One of the difficult things that, it's one of the studies that I planned I would study, is understanding the operations of the angel of God. Because many times in the Bible you will see an angel of the Lord appeared, an angel of the Lord appeared. Do we actually believe the existence of those bodiless creatures of God that can transform or manifest or reveal or come through? You know, many times our limited understanding of angel is somebody that we can physically see that can come around us. We call those people angels. But do we really know the operations of angels? Do we know? Do we even believe at all? And if we believe, what is it that we believe? Are they like magical stuff? So here, Paul was claiming that an angel of the Lord spoke to me. And one interesting thing about Apostle Paul, of all the apostles, he knows how to differentiate between an angel spoke to me, God spoke to me. He will always tell you clearly, he said, and I heard this of the Lord. Or we say, an angel of the Lord spoke to me. So you must have a sense of difference between when angel speaks or when God speaks. So how can we hear God? Diverse ways. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. How did Jesus present this to us? In the book of John 14, 15, 16, Jesus said, here is the trick. If you have Holy Spirit, you are more guaranteed to hear God. Let me just read that and I'll yield in case someone has any comment on that again. Let's read John 14. John 16, verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me. None of you ask me, where do you go? But because I said these things to you, you are afraid and sorrowful. Nevertheless, I tell you this truth. I tell you this thing that cannot change. I tell you about something that is consistent. The truth. It is okay for me to go and for you to see that I go. So that if I go, the Comforter will come. He said it the other way. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send them to you. Now, what will that Comforter do? When he comes, he will reprove you of the word of sin, meaning he's going to continuously challenge you. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, everything that is right, everything that is consistent, everything that is not changing, everything that is natural of God, he will guide you into it. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Here, Jesus was trying to persuade the people and say, please, if you're going to get anything, get Holy Spirit. He will guide you into the nature of God. He will show you, and the only things he will reveal to you are the things he hears. Because Jesus said the same thing. He said, I do not speak of myself. Say, what I hear my Father say, so I do. So how can we absolutely, is it only audible? No. That would be my simple answer. But God can speak to us in so many different ways. We just have to be sure that we have cultivated that sensitivity. We can sense it. Jesus was able to sense when Peter was saying something, when it was coming from the Spirit of God or the Spirit that is not of God. So that would be my long answer to that question. All right. Any other question? We have about 15 minutes. Yes, sir. Fasting and prayer. Yes, sir.
And there's a question, say, if you want to fast as a married man or married woman, you should consult your partner to have agreement before you get started. Okay, that's a fasting. But what happened to apostles who were married and God just picked them to join in? Some of them, I don't think they come back to their family. Some of them, I don't know how they manage it. And we haven't heard, for example, Peter, we know he have a mother-in-law. We don't hear about his children. Or we don't know how that one was taken. I don't know if there's any book talk about them. What we can do about that if two people...
I had the teaching. And I personally don't talk a lot about fasting because I know a lot of people, I would say this in a very simple way, a lot of people just go on hunger strike. Here is scripture. Fasting is waiting until God shows up. And I mean it to the day I die, because that is, why are you going to say you want to fast, you're waiting for God, but you will not let God come before you go? Anyone that really wants to fast, I mean, I'm not talking about just general, okay, everybody's fasting, I'm fasting. Anyone that does that, it's good for your body, natural state of health, because your kidney is not processing a lot of food, you're drinking water, your body's going to feel better. But the ultimate goal of fasting, let's quickly go through scriptures, and I'm just going to skim through scriptures. Why did anyone in the Bible fast? Pick anybody that fasted in the Bible. For what purpose and why? Some were exclusive requests. God did not say, oh, please fast. God never demands a fast from anyone. We can look at scriptures to find all the people that fasted. First of all, Bible said, Moses, carry your bag. I need to speak with you. You need to meet with me. That was the demand that God placed on Moses. He said, because I need to speak with you, you have to separate yourself from the congregation. You have to step outside of the congregation. By his own choice, he asked Joshua to follow him. So he separated himself from the community, moved outside, and he went on to the mountain of God, waiting for God. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, seven, 10. 15, 20. Why didn't he leave? 21, 22, 25, 28, day 30, he was there. Joshua was there. What were they eating? What were they thinking? Was God, if God came and God already left, did God say they should stay? 24, 30, 35. Immediately God showed up. God gave him whatever God gave him that we call now the Ten Commandments. And they started heading back. And as we studied carefully that book, the time we studied the book of Exodus, who was carrying the Ten Commandments? Moses. Not Joshua. He was carrying this with two hands. When they climbed, do you know for 40 days, if you have gone without, even if you are only eating grass or the water, the dew that comes from, you will be as empty, as light as anything. And he was still carrying this by himself. And what? How old was Moses at this time? Well over 80, because we know it was 40 years before he was banished. It was 40 years because he got the assignment. So definitely we're looking at someone 100 years of age at this time. For 40 days, he was up on the mountain, dragged Joshua along. When they were coming back, that was the first person we say 40 days and 40 nights without food. And we add several scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 9, Exodus chapter, that explained to us that he was without food and water. That was actually how he reported it. He said, "For I was without food and water in the presence of God, waiting on the Lord because of the people, because I had to go and listen to what God has to say." First person. Elijah. And the Lord said unto Elijah, "Oh, I will feed you and do whatever." In fact, God did all those miracles, and it got to a point Elijah was tired because of Jezebel and all the issues. He said, "I'll die." "Oh, you want to die?" Book of 2 Kings 17 and 18. He said, "Oh, you don't need to die." While he was right there, the Bible says, and the ravens brought food and bread and whatever, and said, "Eat now, eat, because I really need you to eat." He ate. And then he said, he carried on a journey for 40 days without food and without water until he got to Mount Sinai, the Mount Horeb. Because Mount Horeb is just in the entire area they call Sinai. He got there, and that was when all this appearance of God, and there was wind, and there was thunder, and there was fire, and then suddenly a small, still voice came and said, "So what are you doing here?" I'm talking about fasting now. Someone that first ate and for 40 days and 40 nights no food ended up on this mountain. And if you ever go to, and I pray we'll get to that point where we can travel to Jerusalem together, if they've not killed the whole place. We get to Sinai, that place is terribly, terribly, terribly hot. Dry. In fact, rugged. It's like you won't want to even be there. God appeared to him while he was hiding under the rock and everything. And God said, "Why are you here?" And the only instruction God gave him is three instructions. "Your job is over. Go and anoint your replacement, Jehu and Azazel. And you, go and fight Elisha." That's it. That was fasting. Jonah went, convinced the people, according to the word of God. He didn't want to go. So he himself did not fast. He himself was only preserved for 3 days in the belly of whatever. Came out. And when he preached to the people themselves said, "Let us wait on the Lord and seek his mercy." And then, Bible says, the Lord repented. Meanwhile, God already had a plan for the people. It wasn't that their prayer was so much or their fasting was so much. Esther, Mordecai said, "If you think staying in the house of the king will preserve your life, don't be careful." He said, "No, don't think too much that staying in the house of the king is the thing. Pray for deliverance of the brethren that you belong to, because this man, Haman, is ready to destroy everybody." And they declared fast. What they had in there, he said, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, no one should eat nor drink as this period, as we are going to pray this prayer." So their prayer was only one prayer, consistent and dedicated for the period where they were fasting. Apostle Paul, when his eyes was blinded, for 3 days and three nights he did not see. Of course, Bible says he had no food, according to Acts chapter 13 and 14. No food. Until Ananias came and said, "For the Lord Jesus, whom thou hast persecuted, has called me to come and pray for you." And he laid hand on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit and baptize him right away." Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, Bible says he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he had no food and no water. By the Spirit of God, he was led. To me, those were fasting. Of course, there are institutional fasting, you know. When I am, that's why I choose not to constantly talk about this, because when I hear about partial fast, this fast and that fast, I think we have not understood at all what we really want to do. The same way Elijah said to the people, if you want to serve God, serve him. If you don't want to serve God, say, don't worry, go and follow Baal. Because this God must prove himself. Anyone that says, I really want to fast, just make up your mind and fast. And just say, I will wait until I hear God speak to me. If you really don't believe or don't trust or don't understand the mechanism of absolutely seeking God's face, don't bother wasting your time. I know it's good to practice things, but this is fasting is not something you practice. It's not something, it's not, there's no amount of fasting that will translate. Most of the people that God spoke to, it's not the fasting that made God speak to them. It is the fact that they were waiting. Fasting is waiting. So, directly to your question now, if God wants to speak to you, and you, I can tell of some people that I've seen, I'm not certifying them. There is a place in Korea, Yonggi-cho's Prayer City. I don't know if you have read about it. You can go online. They make small rooms. They're like this. And I think I'll bring the video. If you can go online, just Google Yonggi-cho's Prayer Mountain. They make rooms. It's not as, I think the tallest room is like this. The only thing you have there is a Bible and the hard floor and a stool. Most people that go on vacation to go pray in the morning, once you enter in there, it's you and your Bible and your knee, and maybe if you like, carry your mat. Close the door. When you want to go and use the restroom, you go and use the restroom, you come back, you stay. When you pray 3 days, 4 days, when you know you really need medical attention, you can ring the bell. Otherwise, you keep praying. When you're done with the prayer and you know you are done with your prayer, you carry your bag and just go home. That is fasting. Can anybody do it? You know, we try to condition everything now to, oh, since we are busy now, so does it mean we cannot fast with it? Really want to fast? Really want God to speak to you? If something is so important that you don't want anyone else to tell you about it, you want God absolutely to, I want plain, tell me face to face. You have to mean business about it. If you have to take 3 day vacation, take 3 day vacation and just go and do something. Lock yourself somewhere. I'm not saying someone should fast until they die or until their blood is running, whatever. But if we are doing, for me, I think Christians have not understood the basics of, the moment we stand, we ever want to stand before this God we talk about, we think God is like some guy like Obama or some guy like Perry or some guy like whoever is the mayor of a city. It's not one kind of a person like that. If God, for who he is, we want to approach him and we want him to ever just, God, I just want to hear you now. It's not that he's calling you. It's you that you're trying to get his attention. You do everything you have to do. You say, oh, it's my children that's crying. Oh, really? Every time God wants to get somebody's attention, God removes every other thing around that person, purely. And we can go through scripture one by one. Every time if God really wants to get your attention, everything you hold dear to your heart, God can crush them so that it will get your attention. If he wants to, all these things we're talking about is just that pick any person that God really wanted to get attention. God will move them, everything around about them, you will basically suspend. And then the person will, clearly you will hear God. When he suspend everything, you will hear God. You won't doubt that you're hearing God. Now, if you want to turn it around, you want to hear God, you have to suspend every other thing else. It burns in my spirit when I hear people say, oh, I'm fasting. And you're fasting, you're like, oh, what time is it? So what are you fasting for? You're just trying to just go and eat or not eat. Oh, it's 5 o'clock. Oh, it's 6:01. Let me go and eat. What does that mean? I don't even understand what that means personally. That's why people ask me, oh, are you not fasting? I say, what am I fasting for? When I really want to fast, I pray God will help me so that you will not know. Because if I really want God to tell me something, and God has not revealed it to anybody or anything, food, if that is the only, that's it, will I die? I will not die. But if I know, if I hear that one, my word will change. I want to hear it. So if the wife and children and, you know, I'm not going to come and be asking. So now I would say, I need to seek God now. I know that you may feel bad about this or now or whatever is going on. When I come back, I come back that way. Of course, will your wife feel good or your husband feel good at the moment you are throwing that? No. But I don't see any children always happy to go to school. But they have to. For me, we have not learned the basics of fasting. For me, fasting is wait until you hear God. And how can anyone say, I'm fasting, and you will not be in a continuous stream of prayer and studying scripture? How can you hear God? From what we have said now, you can hear God through every possible means. So if you have been just normally living your life and you have not heard and you really want to hear him, then you want to suspend all the what you're hearing God, you watch this show right now just to kill time so that it will be 6 o'clock. You watch another show. Even if you're just saying I'm watching TBN, they're showing, oh, praise the Lord. They're showing this. That to me is we have not. Let me start one more example. Daniel, when the king said, I'm going to kill. In fact, and we studied this a little bit last time when we studied last year. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the meanest kings. As in, the meanest kings. The way he was treating his own appointed wise men, if they could not deliver, he would say they should kill them, remove their eyes, remove their skins, do all kinds of things. In fact, they will kill all their families if he says you should do something. Now, he declared and said, will you not tell me my dream and interpretation? In fact, the man that was delivering message to Daniel said, we are dead. And then Daniel had to tell him, hold your peace. The God that we serve will help us. Daniel did something. He did not give Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego an option. In fact, he did not ask them whether they wanted to fast or not. He says, I and my brothers, we will go and pray and wait on the Lord. And he will tell us. And whatsoever he tells us, we will tell the king. And he told, we are praying. We are fasting. We are not going to eat. Because reason is this. Daniel already started prepping himself for this thing. He said, I'm not going to spoil my body with the goodies of the house of the king. So he already prepped him. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not, maybe they were just kind of getting. When Daniel forced them and they saw the answer that came, Bible says immediately the answer came while they were praying. And then Daniel boldly went to the king and said, sir, here's the dream and here's the interpretation thereof. And the king said, who is like you? You are actually God. I will bow down before you. Go and grab his head. Don't worship me. But do you know? That alone changed the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Next attempt, they themselves boldly went to the king. We are not bowing down to your God, the golden image. He says, for this our God will help us. Otherwise, we know what's going to happen. Either way, we don't even care. The fasting that Daniel pushed them to do Because he wanted to hear God. Okay, that kind of fasting that Daniel did, was he looking at, oh, let's just do 2 days fast? Because if he did not get an answer, he was going to be dead. So it's almost God, until you give me an answer, whether it comes 1 minute, 2 days, 5 hours. And here's the question. If you are sincerely asking God for something and God answers you in 3 hours, will you fast for 3 days? God has already answered you in 6 hours. So what are you going to do? You say, ah, God, I already made up my mind three days. I will continue with this. What? Then you are not waiting, because the person you are waiting for has come. He has given you the answer. He has given you the next instruction. For me, fasting is a very passionate thing for me. That's why I hardly talk about it, because, you know, people say, oh, then you're going to discourage people. No. Is it that we get it or we don't get it? When I see someone, in fact, this was an issue today. Someone actually called me today and tell me, oh, you know, this fasting. I said, don't let me hear that again in your mouth, this fasting. In fact, from tomorrow, start eating food as much as you can eat. Just make sure you work out. The person said, why would you say that? What will I tell my uncle? I said, you have gotten your reward. Have you not read in the book of Matthew that says some people, they fast so that people can tell that they fast? He said, oh, I know that scripture. I said, now I'm telling you again that the reason why you want to fast is so that you can tell the people, I also did the corporate fasting that GO commanded. What are you looking for? I said, what are you looking for? The person cannot answer me. I said, tomorrow I want to start eating. I don't get passionate when it comes to issues about, but when I see something this is not how to do it. If we want to fast, let us say, this is the absolute reason I'm fasting. Ask Jesus, why did Jesus fast? That's one of the challenges, right, that we were trying to understand in Scripture. Why did Jesus need to fast? Did he need anything to hear God? In fact, we saw that the fasting did not remove the devil from tempting him. For after 40 days, the devil, knowing he was hungry, now came. For me, if I really, 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 really need to hear something from God and God has not spoken to me through any means, and I want to shut down every other thing around me, I will have to talk to my wife for a while. I want to, you know, just do this. And everything I do, I shut down everything I can shut down that is possible. So will I say, my children, just when I get into this room, just do not call me. If it's not emergency, if it's emergency, let me know. If it's not emergency, I don't want to. I zone it. I move on. I do what I have to do. The reason is this. If we know who we really want to talk to, some people will give everything to just talk to their CEO. CEO says he wants to have one-on-one with you. Or you want to get, I tried to book an appointment with one of our presidents. I went to the secretary. I said, please, can you check in the next 2 days? I want to have one-on-one with the president. The man said, one is on vacation, and if I look at his schedule for the next 4 days, you can. I said, no. I want just find any. I said, even if it's 5 minutes. He said, no, he doesn't do 5 minutes. I said, me, I want 5 minutes. In between his meetings, put something there. She looked at me and said, is there something you really need? Of course, yes. Why would I want to go and book an appointment with a president? You think I'm not? I said, find something. He said, oh, in 2 days' time, I can get you this slot, but it's going to be 15 minutes. I said, that's enough. She said, right away she booked it. And the man agreed to me. That gave me an understanding of something. If you are not really, really serious about something, you'll be like, oh, maybe next week is fine. Maybe next year. But I insisted, I said, even if it's 5 minutes, all I want is to have a one-on-one with him, because I've already started prepping myself what I want to tell him, what I want to ask him, what I need from him, how I need it, and why I need to talk to him. Because I don't get a chance to meet the president every day. Fine, we say hi on the street, whatever, but it's only when there is, and of course, I will have to go through my manager, through my, you know, assistant vice president, whatever, to get through him if there is any opportunity. Now, I'll talk about God. I want to get to God, and I really, really, really mean it. And I know that I've not had God through any ordinary means that I've because God has not chosen to speak, and I want him to speak. And I don't want to engineer it. I have to be sure. I'm going to show them everything I need to show them. As long as it's within legal means. And I'm not going to like just go and lie down. One character in the Bible that I don't know most of us have studied. Do you know there was a time that Moses was lying on the ground for 40 days and 40 nights again praying? As in lying on the ground. Ezekiel did the same thing. In fact, he did his own for more than, I can't remember the number of days, 300 and something days. I cannot believe it. When God told him, oh, you have to lie on this side for the sin of the children of Israel for so many years, and then you're going to lie on this other side for the sin of the children of Israel for this so many years. He did that without food. In fact, it's the type of food they said he was preparing was the dung. Like, whatever feces that came out of him, it was when I was cooking his out. Do you think those people are, and this was the same man that now said, by the river, you know, we were slaves, and then suddenly, I see heavens opened. And I can see the glory of God and the trail that filled his temple and all the angels, and I see this and that. Sometimes we don't just see all those things. So if we really mean fasting, we do fasting. What I hear now, whenever I see all kinds of fasting, juice, a little bit drink, only water fast, all this fast, I just move on. I just don't look at it because it's a waste of time for me. People come up with theories just because they want people to a little bit feel like you're doing something. It's not a matter of feel like you're doing something. It's either you do it or you don't do it. Just like Elijah said, if you want to serve God, serve God. Why are you limping between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If you really want to fast, fast. Wait on the Lord. That is the meaning of fasting. Waiting on the Lord. And then when you hear your answer, you will not doubt that you have heard God. Because if you do, people did 100 days of fasting last year. Some people did it just because they have to fulfill righteousness. God will reward people, though, for their commitment. I'm not saying God will not reward people for trying. But if you really want to hear God, do everything to hear God. I don't want to go on because the woman that wanted to see Jesus, she didn't give any excuse for, oh, they will say this. And they said, no, I'm going to go touch him. I'm just going to go like that. And it doesn't matter whether he's going to hear me or not, whatever. Blind Bartimaeus did not say, oh, he said, I will shout. In fact, the more he shouted, they said, cool down. This is your own thing. It's too loud. He said, no, he has not heard me. If I shout enough, he will hear me. Jesus, son of, Jesus, okay, I know someone is calling me. Someone is calling me. That is what fasting should be. What I see today, I call it jollof rice fasting. Everybody wants to just get into the mood of, oh, and you know, I think it's self-righteousness. We want to feel like we are doing something and think that God is impressed and God is looking from above and say, what are you doing? That's how I see it. I always reserve to talk about it because I don't stop when I start talking about it. We've never started. God will help us. Yes, sir. I know we're over time, and I want us to really, because the road is slippery, you know, and it's raining. I only know now. I don't know if I understand your question correctly, but this is what I understand. Am I hoping to make heaven sometime in the future, or do I have to be ready right now? Is that the question? No? No, can you say it again? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I get it. Here, for me, from what I've read in the scriptures, it's not maybe. only prayer that is unconditional is a prayer of, it says, whosoever we call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not conditional. It's not based on and if this or if that, you know. So if I pray to God right now, Father, think about this, the thief on the cross. He didn't ask for too many things. Can I just be there tonight? Oh, yeah, you be with me. That's it. So for me, anyone that trusts, and the trust is very important in this, anyone that trusts in the plan of salvation, which is Jesus being a ransom for us, Hebrews tells us, as long as I trust in that plan, that person will make it. If the person no longer trusts and begins to doubt and begins to act based on their doubt, because doubt is not a problem until we begin to act on our doubt, then the person is no longer having trust in the policy. I'll use a common example. If you buy an insurance policy right now, the only reason you buy insurance policy is because you believe that when something happens, that policy is going to cover you. But you have to keep paying premium, which is the monthly one, right? If you say, are you sure these people will actually pay $100,000 when something happens to me? I'm not sure. I will stop paying premium. It's very clear in the policy. The day you stop paying premium, they will call you up and say, hey, what's going on? You're not paying. If you don't pay in the next or so day, we will cancel the policy. The reason is they see you begin to doubt the policy. That is just human business. God's policy, it's very simple. Do you believe in this enough to pay premium of faith? The monthly thing you pay to God is every time I say trust, he is my savior. He will take me home. I literally took John chapter 15. That is one thing I have written in my heart, you know, and the one what Jesus said in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe in God. For in my Father's house, there are so many mansions. And he said this, if it were not so, that's a negative proof. If this is not true, if I'm lying, I will not tell you if I'm lying or if I'm joking, if I'm not serious about this policy, if I'm not, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Now, if it is not a certain thing, I will not tell you. I go there and I prepare the place for you and I will come back to get you. Every time I say this, when my time is up, whether it's morning or afternoon or night, and I'm done with all my assignment here on earth, I know that I will see Jesus. And I, like I said, I always have my questions I want to ask him. A couple of questions. Why did this happen? How were you tempted? Why didn't you do this? But my absolute assurance is whether I fail or succeed on this earth, I really want to succeed. I want to do great things. I want to accomplish great things. But the day I'm done here, as long as I appear before him and I say, did I pass? And he says, yes. Even though you messed up some time, even though you wasted time. But, you know, come on, get in. All I want to hear is come on, get in. Nothing. I know for sure. I believe in it. He said, if it were not so, I will not tell you. It's like Jesus saying, if I was kidding, I would not bring this up. Or if this is not, like, true. In fact, he prayed in chapter 17 when he says, my Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son because I'm going now. I wish that I can take them right now. But I cannot, according to your purpose. They will be here. Please keep them by your word. He prayed for every believer in John 17. So, I absolutely believe that a Christian has guarantee. Hebrews and Ephesians tells us, for we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the time of redemption. Guarantee. I am sure I am saved. I can fall, make mistakes, but my premium, I pay every time. I still have absolute trust in the saving grace. Not work I do, not because I come to church, not because whatever. All those things are not the things that saved me. I got saved because Christ accepted me, and I confessed my sins, and I said, please continue to hold me on. It's not that I'm holding on to him, it's that he's holding on to me now. And that can be, that's it. If we lose that faith, it's possible for us to lose our faith sometimes because of situation, stress, circumstance, everything happening. And sometimes our mind can play tricks on us. We just give up. It's natural. The only thing is, we just need someone to encourage us back and say, come on, hop back on. What's going on? Believe in this thing. You know? And then the scripture says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord again. And as many times as you come, he accepts. That was why Jesus gave the prodigal son story. Even though we squander stuff, we come back, he accepts us. He doesn't say, oh, you, I don't trust you anymore. And he says, I do not remember that which you have done before that is nasty. I just look unto you like now, brand new. For if any man is in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. All things become new. Everything. It doesn't. And that, I see, do not believe how God does that. How he cannot remember all the bad stuff I've done. I know he remembers, but I just don't know how he just can block that thing out of his mind. He says, for, you know, as far as the north is far from the south or east from the west, I will blot away thy iniquity and I will not remember them anymore. That is unbelievable. That is incredible. That is incredible. You know, the best people you see on platform praising God, whatever, the chief sinner. That was what Paul said. Say, of all the sinners, I am the chief. You know my sins sometimes. I can't tell you all my sins because the day I tell you now, you'll be looking at me with corner eye. So this guy too is a bad person. I'm not going to tell you. And I'm not going to tell you in church. But I know what God saved me from. And I know where I'm going. So I'm so sure. And you don't need to know all my sins because if you know... You will not forget because you are not God. Most people that know your sins, they will not forget. In fact, the day you say it, they will be, all these righteous people. God knows. I'm not going to tell anybody that one. But I know I'm going home. All I want is just to meet God and say yes. Because really, if there is any consolation for me, I want to get to that city where there is no light there, where there is no crying, where there is no weeping, where I won't have to work and stress, and all the pain of my leg, my whatever, or the money issue, my bills, all the stress, all the notes, mortgage, whatever, it's gone. I have an apartment, a mansion that was promised me, and I'm not going to work for it. The only thing I need to do is to believe just now. That's it. And I'm not going to cry. Oh, God, that's enough. And I will have to be with God. Oh, no. That is unbelievable. It's just like, I mean, I don't know why God would give us that much benefit. For how much are we supposed to pay for this? And it's free. That's another thing. It's unbelievable. Is it free? How can that be free? That's why the only person that cannot die chose to die. Because really, the Bible says if Christ was the image of God who cannot die, yet he actually had to accept sin so that he could experience death, so that we no longer experience death and we cannot have life eternal with him. That is incredible. How can it be that my God will die for me? How can it be that I... We know the song, right? Okay. We need to pray. I know we have questions, but these are important questions. These are important questions. How can it be that I would gain an interest in the death of Christ? Because it's amazing. An incredible God, Jesus, incredible praise. What kind of God would do this for me?